Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, yes, you're in the box. Welcome to Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM, or maybe you're one of our podcast listeners at juiceboxradio.com. However you've decided to spend this hour with us, we're glad to have you. So tonight, we have a very exciting show. We do not have our Julia Lovely Saunders here tonight. She will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. But we do have another Julia here, and Ms. Malaika Millions as well. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi. Thank you very much for having us.
Well, thank you for coming. And on that note, tonight's show is going to be about coming out and about Get Your Gay On, which is going to be quite exciting. And if you want to contribute to the conversation, you can give us a call at 604-822-UBC-CITR. And I think I just made a mistake. I always have a mistake when it comes to the phone number. It's 604-UBC-CITR. So tell me a little bit about yourselves. You've got a show coming up, which I know we're going to get into a little bit more with the second half. So I just wanted to touch on that really quickly, because that's in July, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't help but take advantage of my new famous lesbian comedy friend, Julia Stretch. I've been really enjoying working with her. And Get Your Gay On is basically an event, if you want me to, yeah. It's basically femmes and fresh flesh in the house.
I love it.
For women who are, let's see, lesbian curious. So it's a party celebrating femmes and lesbian curious women. For those who might want to come out, feel fabulously femme. And the darling dykes, of course, who want to embrace them. So it's kind of comedy-style show, but it's very, very interactive.
Yes, a lot of really fun activities for everyone to enjoy and participate in.
So we kind of educate people on how to approach a girl and propose a terribly interesting date and how to tell if she might be into girls, as well as delivering the best pickup lines. And, oh, right, we also whip out our tangible gaydar.
Yes.
What is the tangible gaydar? I just have to ask that.
It's magic. I think everyone's gaydar has a little bit of magic, and this is no exception. It's a lovely magic wand we can pull out to just sense the level of gay around an individual or in the room in general. It's very useful.
It lights up and makes magical noises.
Yes, I wish I could bring it with me, but in a coffee shop, it attracts quite a lot of attention.
Which may not be a bad thing. We might get the good kind of attention, possibly.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
But we might be exposing a lot of people to...
Yes.
That is true, and they may not be ready to come out.
No.
What would you recommend in terms of, because both of you have come out, and I want to say that's awesome, and I think it's really cool. What made you decide that it was time, when it was time? And I'll start with Julia.
Hit it.
I don't think I could have. It was something I could no longer, I guess, not express in myself and not live in a way that was true to myself. So I think for most people, it's a matter of just something you notice.
Okay.
And a realization that dawns on you, and then the decision to act on that realization. And it becomes more and more difficult to not explore it, I think. For me, it certainly did.
Did you originally come out, like, how long have you been, when did you come out?
I think I started coming out to people when I was 21.
Okay.
Would have been to my parents at 21 or 22. I knew I was gay for a while, but I hesitated to tell my parents until I had had a girlfriend because I didn't want to give them a false alarm. But finally decided that it was, in fact, quite valid, girlfriend or no. So I told them and had around the same time told some of my friends and other family members.
And did you find everybody to be supportive?
Thankfully, yes. In my case, it was rather, if anything, anticlimactic, I guess, when I told my parents, because they just said, okay, well, thank you for telling us, we love you, and went on from there. So for me, I think the largest part of coming out was coming out to myself and getting over, I think, some internalized homophobia I had.
What type of internal homophobia did you have?
Well, I think it's one thing to be okay with gay people in general and their existence.
Okay.
Quite another to be okay with yourself or someone close, a family member or someone very close to you being gay. That's a whole other level of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a leap I had to make. And I suppose it didn't exactly help that at the time, most of portrayals in the media were of a very narrow one narrow sort of lesbian.
What type of lesbian was that?
Well, perhaps the more...
Well, they're often portrayed as insane. It's a malady. I mean, in the earlier snippets, the way they were integrated into film. And they were often, in a sick kind of way. Yeah,
I'm trying to think of certain movies that might have that. Give me an example.
Oh, I was just exposed to a whole history of lesbians in film. What can I say about it? I don't know. I think we should call up a professional right now.
Fair enough.
But generally, often, you know, in the media, in the history of, in queer history, queer people have been proclaimed to be an illness. Apparently, originally, homosexuality and heterosexuality were malady terms. Both of them were, but they were both scientific terms for heterosexuality stood for any kind of sex outside of a married relationship. Originally, that's what it stood for. The same as homosexuality were both malady terms, but heterosexuality became a common used term just to refer to opposite sex relations. But homosexuality stayed in a way of being a bad thing. And what was it, the 70s or something, when it was finally removed from the DSM?
Wow.
Yeah, so I think also it's homosexuality is always been portrayed in very, very narrow terms, where now we're experiencing a whole new liberation. I think specifically a whole new liberation within the lesbian community, where people are just people. And they don't have to fit within such constraints, such tight constraints of definition.
In such
definitely,
boxes.
Definitely, yeah.
Kind of like what we were talking about earlier in terms of the femmes and the butches. Is that what you're referring to?
I think a lot of lesbian culture in its larger birth was through second wave feminism.
Mm-hmm.
Second wave feminism was very much about the denial of femininity and ended up, creating this whole persona and encouraging a persona that seemed to lean towards the masculine with the short hair and the just denial of your own sexuality, never mind your femininity, because femininity was perceived as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So with the general movement in our culture with, I think there's something greater happening, but as a burlesque dancer, I mostly can only refer to burlesque in the context of third wave feminism, in owning your sexuality and being proud of your femininity. And it's been impacting the lesbian community in such a great way that, which is why I wanted to put on Get Your Gay On,
mm-hmm.
Which is inclusive of femmes. I know when I tried to come out, it was a really painful experience. So I want to
Make it a little easier for everybody else.
Also, I think right now in popular culture and the aesthetic of current fashions, there's a wave of androgyny happening,
mm-hmm.
both male and female androgyny happening. So the gay community itself seems to be broadening. It's finally breaking out of these narrow constructs of, lesbians just being super butch and gay men just being super femme. I think it's really reaching the full range that any, human should have and capacity that any culture should have.
Which is really good because it's healthy.
Yeah, but we are still in an adolescence, mm-hmm. in a serious adolescence. I was pointing that out to someone recently and they said, yes, it's definitely an adolescence. Our whole sense of what it is to be gay is stuck in the icons of the 70s very much.
What does it mean to be gay to you, both of you?
Pussy.
Julia? I can come back to that if it...
I think I'm going to have to think on that a bit more. I will say that I think there's been just a general broadening, even that more than I have seen before, there's been a process whereby people feel more free to embrace whatever it is they want to embrace.
Okay.
When I thought of lesbians, I thought of very one sort of shade of gray, androgynous, asexual, the denial of sexuality mm-hmm. in general. Now people are more likely to embrace their butch side or embrace their masculine side or embrace their feminine side or both. And that is what is fascinating to me, is there's a lot of people I've encountered who aren't shades of gray, but they're like checkerboards. They have these fascinating, very strongly masculine and strongly feminine elements, and mm-hmm. that is wonderful. So it's not... I am as exhilarated and as happy to see gay people now embracing all those things rather than just denying anything except for a very safe asexual kind of middle ground.
And it sounds like it's a lot healthier just in terms of bracing both the masculine and the feminine side. It just makes a healthy, more balanced person.
Well, in the community itself, though, too, we get to be exposed a lot more to gender theory.
Okay.
And we get to kind of, I guess, piggyback a lot of growth that happens in people we may encounter who choose to transition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, I don't know, I guess as the whole process of transitioning is becoming more popular and more available, the gay community itself, being part of such a small community, you get to learn more about discovering who you are yourself and less so trying to model yourself after something else. Not just the gay community itself, though, I think a lot of the world, I'm hoping that I see signs of it, mm-hmm. where a lot more individuality is possible. Yeah, and so, I'm a dreamer.
Yes, but you are amazing, as we had an Al, which we'll read it at the end of the show. You're our, one of our celebrities in Vancouver. You are. And
could
I mean,
be
look
at a minor lesbian.
I love that.
It's not mine,
yes,
that's Cheryl Dunier's. But... yeah.
And I just have to say, Malaika, you look absolutely beautiful as always. So it's just like you look like you're ready to go on stage. Or
I am, actually.
Oh, okay. That's why you showed up as a radio interview.
I've been called in to perform tonight at Fierce down at Celebrities. So if any of you are feeling wakeful upon listening to this radio interview and thinking of somewhere to go, you can go down to Celebrities and support Bridgie Kay's project Fierce, which donates money to a disadvantaged youth school in the East Side. It's only $5, and I'll be performing an absolutely ridiculous burletta.
What type of burletta?
Well, I'm doing Karate Jesus. Yes, where I've engineered these spinning crosses pasties. They're really quite fabulous and hilarious. And the whole number, you know, I have fish and bread, and I turn water into someone else's wine. it's darling, and the whole show is going to be great. And
I think I'm going to have to see it for mm-hmm. that. I remember when you and I spoke during the International Burlesque Festival at one of the events about making pasties. You'd mentioned about the spinning crosses. So I have to see these. These sound really fascinating.
Really, unlike what you might expect.
Unlike whatever your preconceived notions of spinning cross pasties might be.
It's all done in good taste as well. Good taste. It's got a beautiful message. I like to have my performances have some kind of message.
Well, you're one of the best performers in the city. You really are.
Thank you.
Oh, it's true. You are. You're quite lovely. So
the best review I ever heard was somebody saying, "She really gives it her all." So I'm like, okay, that's it. That's good. That's good.
No, it's true. It's great. And I'm really excited about your show coming up. Mm-hmm. I did want to touch base as well, because you've been out now for about 2.5 years.
Yeah, officially.
Officially.
You know, not because I didn't try. Though.
Okay, that sounds intriguing. Do tell.
Well, like I said, it was difficult for me to come out. I've been femme since I was born. All mm-hmm. I can say is, you know, I'm kind of happy on a lot of levels that I was born in a very girly girl body, and I almost feel like I have past life memories of being an effeminate spirit, as I still am, but having maybe been in a boy's body. And I still get this sensation of going, all right, yes, I scored. This lifetime around, I'm it. I'm in it. I'm there. Except I'm still bent. I'm still queer somehow. So it's interesting, the whole rubbing mirrors thing, maybe. I wonder what that means. But yeah, I could not, you know, I could not hide my femininity if I tried.
No.
I mean, you could put me in big baggy trousers and a big old overcoat or whatnot, and I still
would be, to use your own words,
limp-wristedness.
You'd be the straightest looking lesbian around.
Exactly, straightest looking lesbian.
If you go stereotypical mm-hmm. in terms of,
and plus the icon, the fact that I look so much like a famous icon, you mm-hmm. know, looking like Marilyn Monroe, which I have to say I don't really try to, because she's Danish, Swedish, English as well. We're both, you know, maybe we're sisters on some level or cousins. I don't know, but it was really hard. I remember going to lesbian events and getting many a cold shoulder, if not cold comment, if not the drag queen or just the queen mm-hmm. character behind the bar sicking the one straight guy in the place on me. It was really bizarre, and I was a lot more shy back then, but I just really liked to go someplace, and I wanted to be around women, and I always knew I was very, very attracted to women. Yeah, but it was really hard, and I was especially shy about approaching women. I don't know, didn't have the best experience all through childhood and high school. I mean, I was the girl who got beat up in the locker room.
Oh,
although
my God.
I'm sure if I was really in touch with my masochism back then, it would have really turned me on a lot, but it was kind of scary. So yeah, it was really hard, and I remember mm-hmm. the night I decided, okay, that's it, I'm going out. I feel gay. I think I'm gay. I've always wanted to date women. And it just happened to be a Sunday night. And I jumped on my motorbike. I'm wearing like a tank top and jeans, no makeup, and a little cap. And I jump on my motorcycle, I head downtown, and I end up on Davie Street, and there's 60 women lined up outside of Celebrities. And I guess it was a long weekend, and Hershey Night was happening there.
What is Hershey Night, just for our listeners?
Hershey is a night put on by Fly Girl Productions.
Okay.
And so they generally put on events often on the long weekends on a Sunday night for lesbians. They put on wonderful parties.
Was this the same organization that put on the event after Diva's Den?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I believe there's a number of events that happen.
Yes, that's true.
But yeah, they recently put one on at Canvas Lounge, and oh God, I hope they can get that again, because we really deserve a special. We deserved a next tier in our community, a little bit of a classier tier, a venue. You know, lesbians are so often stuck in dark bars and dark spaces that aren't, you know, they don't nearly reflect, you know, what a woman might prefer. I went there and lined up outside with my helmet and got in and was kind of apprehensive and tentative and scared. And this really hot woman comes up to me on the dance floor, is like, hey, would you like to dance? And she just happens to kind of sort of represent the thing that really gets me going. So next thing I know, I'm riding her like a pony on the dance floor going, oh my God, this was easy. And, you know, perhaps I was a little more determined this time. But then we go up to the bar for a drink, and she's like, so did you just break up with your boyfriend? And I remember very clearly choosing, almost saying it out loud, okay, I'm going to handle this with grace. I'm just going to stay graceful. Because it's hard. I mean, it's hard enough as a woman who's attracted to women. I mean, you already have your knees a-knocking. Mm-hmm. And then to have to deal with the presupposition and the prejudice and whatnot, and what's the point? What even if a girl looks straight, you know, you just add water and heat, and you know, it's like a noodle. You know, if anybody could be charmed, I think in the end it all comes down to charm. If anything is possible, mm-hmm. it's going to happen from charm. So just be charming. I mean, I think a lot of the reason, though, too, is people are afraid, right? So they decide to attack when they're afraid. They decide to be defensive and go on the offensive.
It makes sense. So, flight or fight syndrome.
Yeah, and I know that when I'm dandied up and I'm looking like Marilyn Monroe after a show because my hair is all done and my makeup's all done, mm-hmm. I've gone to a dance party event and I've had people physically body slam me and be like, hey, Marilyn. And there's something about extreme femininity and beauty that brings out people's aggressive side, I think. And so it can be, it's one of these funny things, though, but people do it, I think, because they feel vulnerable. So
it makes sense. Do you think it might be possibly because sometimes women can be a little bit competitive with each other? I know that was one of the things we were discussing over dinner, just in general, and we'd put it in terms of men and women, where sometimes with guys just say it like it is, whereas women, sometimes we want people to read our minds and things like that.
I think it's also because women who do not fit that classic feminine ideal are so disenfranchised within the media, and disenfranchised as not being valid women, mm-hmm. and they feel so invalidated, and so they want to take it out on one who is valid. But mm-hmm. And I would love to see more butch women represented in the media as incredibly sexy and attractive, because they are. Or even like in-betweeners, you know, mm-hmm. the slightly androgynous, the ones who kind of are in between. And I mean, why do women only have to be represented as me? Because to tell you the truth, as cute and pretty as I am, I don't want to fuck me, you know? Like,
I
know I'm upset about not seeing what I like represented mm-hmm. in the media, right? And so, of course, I don't want to walk around being this giant signal that makes everybody feel invalidated, because in the end, like, I intend to, I purposefully, officially intend to, you know, promote the variety that women come in as valid beings. And that includes the whole gender display and body type and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Yeah. What were you going to say, Julia?
Just that I would agree that I think that in the idea of the fact that in your appearance, Malaika, that you conform more to a fairly traditional ideal of femininity, I think, is quite different from the experience of a lot of women and a lot of lesbian women in particular. And I think that's where a lot of that hostile energy would come from, is that these are women who do not see themselves reflected in the media and do not see themselves validated in that way. So even myself, coming from a place of not perhaps conforming as much to that and finding resulting acceptance in the lesbian community, but a resulting lack of acceptance in society at large.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I could understand where that vulnerability and that defensiveness comes from.
Yeah. And it's a funny thing too, though, is I'm pissed that it's not represented. I mean, I want to see some, you know, beautiful women who I consider incredibly attractive represented, you know, whether it's women of color or whether it's women who have extreme muscles or whether it's women who have masculinity or women who just have a boyishness. I think it's all equally validly woman.
So that all women are beautiful and sexy.
Yeah, and I rage against it. I have some sketch ideas that I'm planning to put out, in fact, that will be all about that. And some of it could be quite offensive and even preposterous, but I think in the end the message is going to be quite clear. And I think I personally, as Malaika Millions, looking like Marilyn Monroe, stating these facts, will be able to get that message across, I think, a lot better, perhaps.
I think so, too.
Because it'll be more digestible because of the way I look. Mm-hmm. And somebody was saying to me, well, if you're not so attached, you know, you don't identify with how you look, why don't you just stop, you know, having your hair be so blonde? And I said, yes, but in the end, couldn't I infiltrate the paradigm so much better looking the way I do? And therefore being able to be listened to when I spout, you know, maybe these ideas. And, I think people might... Let's take advantage of that.
No, I think it's true. And just with, in terms of your mentioning earlier, in terms of with fashion as well, with androgyny being embraced just through hetero community, bisexual, gay, lesbian community, hopefully things will start. Just mixing things up a bit. And Julia, you were mentioning something earlier when we were having dinner in regards to about the media is a lot more forgiving in terms of gay men. Even though there's a lot of hate crimes against the gay men, there's a lot more, like the shows you're mentioning, like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, things like that. Yeah. Did you care to elaborate about that?
Well, one thing that really struck me, and this is granted a couple of years ago now, Christina Aguilera did a video, her video for her song Beautiful, which is a wonderful, wonderful song that I have on my iPod myself, about accepting different types of the inner beauty and different types of external beauty as well. And it was this beautiful music video that featured effeminate-looking young men and embracing these men who, I guess, they appeared to be teenagers, perhaps, and their process of perhaps accepting themselves. And the video was embraced as a result of this because it broke ground in...
You mean by the gay community?
It received a lot of awards from gay rights groups because of the way it did this, but you didn't see one unconventional woman there. There were not gender unconventional women. There were heavier set women who could be embraced in spite of their weight, and boys who could be embraced in spite of looking effeminate, but you did not see a woman who could be embraced in spite of looking masculine. That was something that was decidedly lacking from that video. And I don't mean to knock it, because it's a lovely representation of the song. The song was loved, and the song itself is beautiful, and I think it is a lovely artistic contribution and very inspiring. But it's another media instance where women who don't conform to gender stereotypes are still invisible.
What about movies like Boys Don't Cry?
Well, that one specifically is around a trans issue.
As opposed to...
Yeah, it's not that... I mean,
no,
sure, it kind of touches on lesbianism, but I think that one is very, very specific. As far as Yeah, there are a bunch of films out there. I shouldn't be able to pull them off the top of my head. I just spent a couple of weeks hanging out with a filmmaker. So now I'll be apologizing. But there's a lot of films, I think, that have been done, but whether they reach pop culture status
is
another thing. And I know that there's definitely, I believe wholeheartedly, a surge where lesbian culture itself is gaining popularity within straight culture. And this is a wonderful time to make these movements and make these movies, for example, and tell these stories of women's strength and women's diversity. Yeah.
I think that's really great.
I love the L word, for example, but it does not really represent the gender presentation, diversity of one's way of presenting themselves. I think they made a wonderful ploy to show that, you know, of course, not all lesbian culture is just butch dykes in all that entails. But at the same time, I think it perpetuated the myth that women who are not effeminate to some degree are invalid.
That's interesting.
And it especially perpetuated it because of its extreme popularity, you know? I totally, lots of honor towards, you know, the L word and what it's done in popularizing, the humanity of a lesbian life. But it's kind of a funny thing because, you know, maybe heavyset women who have, you know, way more body mass, wouldn't that be nice if that was represented more
within
as attractive
and
people,
beautiful.
As people who are powerful, or women who are in positions of strength, who have a masculinity to them, who are women of color, who are in positions of strength and have masculine qualities as and seen as real valuable people in a position of hierarchy. You know, I think because it is true, it's just not represented.
It's true.
Yeah,
that's very true. And I want to talk about that a little bit more when we come back. We're going to take a short break, and I'm excited to hear more about
Get Out and Come Back.
Exactly. We're going to come out and come back, and I want to hear more about Get You Gay On when we get back. So listeners, you're listening to Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM. So this is a good time to call in if you've got any questions for us at, see if I can get the phone number right this time, 604-UBC-CITR. And I love the fact Malaika Millions is mouthing it to me so I get it correct. We'll be right back.
I won't let you down. I will not give you up. organizations using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box. If you're just listening now, we are at Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. So we've got the lovely Julia Stretch and the wonderful Malaika Millions in the box tonight. And we are talking about coming out. And we are talking about their show coming up called Get Your Gay On. So we talked a little bit about what that entails in the first act. But would you care to elaborate and tell a little bit for the listeners that may be joining us just in the second half?
What involves coming out?
No one involves Get Your Gay On.
Get Your Gay On.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, at first you have to come.
That is true.
Okay, well, Get Your Gay On is an event that I had the idea of creating an interactive event. I was kind of tired of the hierarchy of performer audience, where the audience has to stop having fun now and pay attention to us. And I know that everybody kind of wishes they could be a performer and just commit, but they can't. But everybody's a ham, and everybody wants an opportunity to be a ham.
They definitely do.
And I also felt that lesbians, especially in their relative level of social ineptness, sorry, ladies, basically need to be, you know, put a gift certificate to a restaurant in their hand and then shove them towards the girl they want to talk to, as opposed to doing the quick half glance to your left and then back and looking away and calling that, like, oh, I just gave her the signal. I mean, that's San Francisco style, you know. If a girl's head looks at you for half a second and then it turns away, that means she's interested in you.
So it's like the eye games that I would use for a straight man, basically, where I look up at them through the eyelashes, but that doesn't work in Vancouver.
But then there's no guy to have the balls to make the next move.
You know? And that's just typical of Vancouver sometimes. Mm-hmm.
So what I came up with, and Julia Stretch helped me with, was coming up with some games, like, and we would give a little speech about, you know, what's the best way to approach a girl. And then
what is the best way?
Oh, what is the best way to approach a girl? Say, if you're a girl interested in another girl and you're not sure if she's gay and you don't have a tangible gaydar. Drop a love bomb. A love bomb is...
What's a love bomb?
You walk up, you tell her something that pleases you and made you happy, and you say thank you, and then you walk away. So it's non-manipulative. Mm-hmm. You're not looking for something back from them. Or next time you see them, you're like, oh, I'm so happy to see you again. You rock. Or you know what? There was this girl at a lesbian bar I was at recently with my girlfriend. But she was so, it was funny, it was awesome. She was, we'd never seen each other in our lives. And she goes, oh my God, it has been so long since I've seen you. I mean, it was great. It was like a total icebreaker. And just be playful. And how to find out if she's gay? Well, I don't know. All you have to do is flirt. And
that is
often
true.
Women will flirt back because we come from a very flirtatious culture. But you never know, it could turn into something more.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Julia?
I am much less inept approaching women. That may have been how I got started doing comedy, maybe, was just to get to go on stage and say that I was gay and single.
I love it.
So partially just go on stage and talk, or perhaps as well, have someone such as Malaika introduce you by saying single.
At the next show, we are going to have a magic game show style closet on stage, and we're going to announce who's coming out of the closet next time at Get Your Gay On. Mm-hmm. And my objective is, and if anybody's listening out there who'd like to come out of the closet at the next Get Your Gay On, talk to me. You can find me at Malaika Millions on MySpace. So we're going to have like game show style with big confetti guns. And then, you know, we're going to announce them and introduce them and then say, all right, ladies, give her a big hand, but not too big. She's new.
No. Yes, because in the old South, did we not have the debutante balls where girls came out? Is that not where the term originated? Is that these women would come out as young, eligible women and be presented / thrown to the wolves? And the intent was to pair them all up with men, eligible men of the proper station, and that was the coming out ball. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was involved dancing, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things we do to get interactivity again, besides getting people up on stage to win prizes for their best pickup lines or worst.
What are the worst?
Oh, well, they have to come to the show. This is really hilarious.
Not even just one?
But we have a mating dance-off.
A mating dance-off.
So we explain that in nature, animals, you know, do mating dances.
Yes,
in fact,
and this was delightful last time.
It was great because we have a selection of three different songs, so they have to show their variety of, like, how they can be flexible in different circumstances. And so we get about four or five people up on stage, and they're all vying for a prize. Mm-hmm. What was it? Lost? We had gift boxes from Queen Bee Luxuries. And then another competition was we talked to people about how to propose a terribly interesting date, which is making the deal, right?
Okay, how do you make the deal on that note?
Well, I always recommend doing something you've never done before or something they've never done before. So I once took a girl on a date to see the Woodward's building get exploded, and we were, like, on the nearest building to it looking down. Like, you felt like our building was going to go down. And that was quite impressive, I think.
I think that's...
And so what we do then is we talk about proposing terribly interesting dates, and that's when we go into the Femme Butch auction. And at every Get Your Gay On, there is some femme, butch, or in-betweener who is being auctioned off. And what the way that works is if you are interested, then you come up and you propose the best hypothetical date. The person who's being auctioned off picks their favorite, and then the person who bid on them gets a $20 gift certificate to a restaurant to take them on that date. And so there's nothing lost. So you literally shove a gift certificate to a restaurant in their hand and say, well, then take them on a date. Because, you know, women will, you know, bandy around the bar ignoring each other and being shy and avoiding each other. And it's really quite sad.
Do you think that's because in stereotypically in history, just that women have always had to wait for men to ask? And so
maybe.
Even though women are
I
asking women,
so, definitely, because
there isn't roles in terms
maybe
of gender.
Maybe we should I'm here for it already to teach these things. Mm-hmm. But I know Daniel Packard puts on a show that challenges women to be more aggressive.
Yes.
But yeah.
Well, and that's one of the inherent problems of the woman structures, that at least with men and women, the assumption is that a guy is going to be the hunter,
yes,
or the person who is making the move. So you have two women, and that is one situation where a strongly butch femme dynamic is actually helpful, because mm-hmm. then people at least know which roles to perhaps assume within that dynamic.
Yes.
But without that, if you have in between and all these wonderful, wonderful variations within the rainbow, you don't have the same set of rules, and it can be so confusing. I remember once I was met up with this girl, and we were both sort of just pussyfooting around things and making eyes at each other until mm-hmm. finally a mutual gay male friend of ours just stuck his head in between us and said, oh my gosh, you guys should totally have no strings attached sex tonight, and then disappeared. And so we did. But without him to...
It might not have ever happened.
Exactly, because between the two of us, we were not able to do that.
Do you think that may be why so many women stereotypically have the gay best friend? I know we were talking about that earlier, where you're mentioning where you had to meet somebody's gay best friend and had to hopefully get their approval. And it's kind of like family, where it's meeting the parents. You described mm-hmm. it as mm-hmm. such.
Yep.
And where all of yours are back in Calgary because you've just been... You're a nice addition to Vancouver.
I don't think there's a rule about that. I think anybody's lucky to have a gay best friend.
Yes, they are.
I don't think there's a rule at all. I just think anyone is lucky to have a gay best friend.
That's certainly
one
of the things they're good at.
You know, gay men have much much more obvious messaging to each other, and they're just way more straightforward. Like Julia has, well, you've
got that piece you were talking about that the gay men were just loving at the last Get Your Gay On. Is that
one of my favorite, which things you sh- something I think you should trademark, which is, am I on a date right now? You know, it's this, Julia Stretch quote. I love it.
And would you like to do it now? Or? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Stand-up comedy. Idea, come on.
The idea just being that lesbian women could get so much more done and be so much more productive if they didn't waste so much time answering one question over and over again. Am I on a date right now? Because I think a lot of us, and certainly I, move through life in a state of confusion a lot of the time as to whether or not I am at that moment on a date with the person I am hanging out with. I think for a straight woman, and you perhaps, I don't know if you would agree, that if you are having dinner or drinks with someone of the opposite sex who is not related to you, you are either on a date or perhaps the onus is on you to clarify that it isn't a date.
Oh, I could go on about that one, but that's a whole other show. But yes, it can be confusing. And interestingly, within the just being a straight woman, because of Women's Lib, which I love, and at the same time, it makes it really confusing where when I go on a date now.
It took away the roadmap.
It did, and people don't know how to act. Guys don't know whether they need to kiss. I'm not sure whether or not just to grab somebody and just push their face up against mine, stick your tongue in my mouth,
please. That's something that you go through as a teenager, but a lot of times people don't come out until past their teen years.
That's right.
And I know the past couple of years, I felt like I've gone through a whole new adolescence. Because there's so much confusion that you're suddenly in, like, what is sex, for
your
example?
Voice
I was
changes.
Telling you, I was telling you the whole story of my gay friend asking on behalf of his lady friend who was wanting to come out, but she just wanted to know, what was lesbian sex? Mm-hmm. When did you know when you were having sex? And he was like, I realize this is really funny for me, a gay man, to ask you, and I couldn't answer her. And yeah, it is funny because Julia, again, has another wonderful... She's got so many great jokes. I love you, Julia. She's got a great joke about, you know, how lesbians never really do ever consummate to the point of actually having sex. But I told him that, in fact, if the aim of one of you was to orgasm, then that's sex, period. And also, I mean, there's all kinds of confusing, nebulous areas that one has to discover, like any teenager would have to fumble through. And it's rather exciting, and I don't think it should scare anyone away, especially if they have always had those hidden secret desires. And if the only thing that's keeping you from doing it is maybe the social circumstance...
Mm-hmm.
Never mind, you're already, your knees are knocking, but then the social circumstance of not really knowing how the rules work, you know, in that little community. I don't think, you know, come to Get Your Gay On. And, you know, and come to, you know, there's all kinds of, go to a place where you have to interact. Go to an event like Cunt. Diana David and I have been putting on a women's social with entertainment at the Majestic. And we have interactive games that we get the audience all interacting with each other as well. And I've known two or three friends of mine who've ended up getting dates out of that because they were forced to go up to absolute strangers to help fill out their questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of...
That almost that's sounds why like I speed dating.
Yes, that's why Julia... Yeah, she's gotten some dates.
Julia, we were talking as well earlier in regards to online dating. How have you found that? Have you tried it at all? Or had friends that have?
How's Super Dyke working out for you?
Well, that is one of the things I am loving since having come to Vancouver. That Vancouver has a wonderful thing called Super Dyke, which Calgary does not.
What is Super Dyke?
It's a community site for lesbians.
For lesbians.
It's not completely focused on dating.
And I have to say right now, it is a gold mine.
Really?
Yes, it is a gold mine of people you do not necessarily see at the bar. Right?
Okay.
And often it's our only connection with our own community is, you know, some bar scene event. But there are a lot of women who really don't care to go to a noisy bar playing music that only appeals to a 22-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too loud. And so I have seen Julia pull out of the woodwork. Some women I have never seen before. Now, granted, I'm on stage a lot with the light in my eyes, or, you know, only the people who are brave enough or whatever to come up to me and say hi. But she has pulled some gems out. And I, all of a sudden, I go to this night, and there are women who are showing up there because, you know, she's talked with them and saying, oh, I might be here. And I'm like, where did they come from? So yeah, Superdike is lovely. I know I've used butchfemme.com and met somebody special there. But you were saying about Superdike and...
Well, just that, I mean, you hit it on the head, because I am one of those women who does not have a lot of patience for the bar, and I love the fact that Superdike has allowed me to take the bar out of the equation in terms of just meeting people, whether for platonically or to date. Just the fact that before I left Calgary, I resolved that I was not going anywhere unless I wanted to see the act or wanted to be at the venue. Right. I will not go anywhere just because there'll be chicks there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I like Superdike. I've met good friends on there as well.
Also, they also have a forum side where people can post questions.
In terms of support.
And the community itself can respond and give advice. So, you know, if you're gay curious or lesbian curious, it's actually, you know, it's very broader than just lesbian. And all kinds of issues that come up are discussed there.
So would this be a good place for your friend, the friend that recommended that their friend was curious in terms of coming out? And I'm also wondering, is that a good place in terms of somebody who's curious to date, but then that way, at least when they're looking at people online, is there pictures of people online you set up a profile?
People create profiles. And the funny thing is, I sort of understand, because out of one's own protectiveness towards their heart, they might be hesitant to date a newly out lesbian or someone who identifies as bisexual. But I personally don't get that. It doesn't make any sense to me that, oh, well, she's not really gay if she also dates men, because I think people are people. Sexuality is fluid. It is so much about your own personal attraction. I mean, yes, who you like can be, you know, being gay or being straight can end up being not a choice. But who you're attracted to, that's magic, right?
It is.
So it's about attraction.
Yes.
You know, like, just because I'm a lesbian doesn't mean it means that I'm attracted to every woman I see. But often a lot of bisexual women friends I know are afraid to let it be known that they have a gay side, because then maybe their girlfriends are going to think that they're attracted to all of them. They're going to assume that, oh, this means she's a threat to me. But there's this weird assumption that gay people, that whether it's gays or lesbians, are all just like off in the corners fucking each other all the time, that it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with human emotional attachment, that it's just, oh, it's just sex. Because you have no choice about your sexuality.
I'd be becoming a lesbian in that case.
Right?
It was the biggest disappointment when I started.
They're not just like humping each other all the time, you know?
I was looking forward to spending some good evenings humping in the corner and
So there is this odd assumption, though, that people who are bisexual and know that they are maybe afraid to like let it be known, for example, because maybe their straight friends are going to start thinking that they're attracted to them, or that, I don't know, it's a funny one. And I think bi is queer, period. You know, it's the same thing. If you are attracted to someone of the same sex as you, if it's possible. I mean, I'm not attracted to every woman I meet. I'm gay only when I'm attracted to someone. And how often is that, you know?
Yeah.
So who I am as a gay person does not necessarily define me. It's only when I find that right one person. But otherwise, I'm just having regular human relationships.
I did want to touch on one thing that I'm glad you brought up about bisexuality. I was on Craigslist today looking at the Women for Women section. And what I found interesting was there was this ongoing thread about women basically accusing, and it was going back and forth in terms of some of the posts. It was interesting in regards to bisexual women and whether or not from them sleeping with men, whether they're bringing STIs, sexually transmitted infections, to the lesbian community.
Well, any no, because I think that's the responsibility of any lesbian having sex with
safe
anybody
sex.
To have safe sex and to be careful, period, because, things are communicable, period. There's no assumptions to ever be made. And, I think this, like, whole crossover thing, I mean, it's up to you to be safe. If that's a concern of yours, then wear a dental dam.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of... Yeah, I don't believe in putting, the blame outside. I think take an autonomous stance, be responsible. And I think Craigslist is interesting for the Women for Women part of it because there are so many postings where women are so curious to come out and so wanting to have a truly lesbian experience, and it's been so hard for them to find it. And I was considering, and I might even still do it, and the last time I ended up chickening out because I really like to respect Craigslist rules.
Okay.
And Craigslist rules are that you're not allowed to advertise an event that something like that that costs money, and you're not allowed to contact people about any kind of special offers, right? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't have that thing checked, then you're not allowed to.
Got it.
And I would love to email every single one of them and say,
tell them
hey,
to come
I have
to get
this
your gay
event
on.
Called Get Your Gay On. And if you're wanting to meet some women who are waiting in the wings to meet you, that here they are. And I'm putting together this wonderful, hilarious, silly, lighthearted atmosphere. You know, it's a very lighthearted atmosphere. And so I'm kind of trying to figure out how to get around that and not break any of the rules, because I do love Craigslist. It's great.
No, it is good. We've got to figure that one out. Yes, thank you so much for being on the show. I wanted to add one more thing. Where can they find out about Get Your Gay On? Where can our listeners find out?
You can find out about it on MySpace, Malaika Millions, M-A-L-A-I-K-A, Millions. Burlesque dancer, host, MC, looking for work.
And on that note, we are going to be seeing you at Celebrities performing very, very, very shortly tonight.
So our next Get Your Gay On is July 4th at
yes.
Lick. And then the next show after that I'm putting together is called Cunt at the Majestic July 17th. So you can sit on our Facebook.
I love that.
Find us on Facebook, Get Your Gay On, and see you next Thursday. Sit on our Facebook, everyone.
And thank you very much for listening to Juicebox Radio. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock with the lovely Julia Saunders. We'll be back in the house with me, your host, Caroline McGillivray. And up next is Hans Kloss's Misery Hour with the lovely Marianne, who has so many sexy, sexy pairs of shoes. The ones he has on right now just gave me a shoegasm. And on that note, have a wonderful night, and hopefully we'll see you at Celebrities.